Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. Thanks for being with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. 34 after the hour. Got our good buddy David Dossi back on the show. David is an intellectual property attorney. We used to call them patent attorneys, but now they got a fancier name. And David is not only your intellectual property attorney on the Small Business Advocate Show in our brain trust, he's my intellectual property attorney and does a great job for us. And he's here to talk to us about something that's very important right now. If you are a consumer of intellectual property, like music or books or whatever, or if you're a creator of intellectual property, like me in my with my show and all the things that I do here, and you are too. We've talked about that before. So this the concept of fair use is really in the forefront of debate these days. And I've asked Dave to join us to talk to us about that. Dave Dossi, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you back. So give us the bookish, pointy-headed, ivory tower definition of fair use.
Well, the key, the starting point really is to accept the purpose of copyright law, and that is that it seeks to provide sufficient protection for authors while at the same time permitting others to utilize protected works to advance the progress of arts and sciences. The Horn Book kind of thought process.
I like that. So now, would you say, you're describing the goal of a copyright.
Correct.
Okay. Say that. Would you say it again? I like that, folks. This is going to be on the test. Go ahead, David.
Well, the key behind copyright law is that the goal is to provide sufficient protection to authors while at the same time permitting others to utilize protected works. Mm-hmm. To advance the progress of the arts and sciences.
Which I take that last part to include the quiet enjoyment of what I bought, what I purchased.
Well, it's really fair use then kind of dovetails in, and the real principle of fair use is allow parts of works to be used without the permission of the owner. So most of the time, you would think of that in the context of someone doing a book review or taking quotes from a book.
Right.
Which is really.
Go ahead. Yeah. So if I quote you in my book or in my article or whatever, as long as I attribute it to you, then I've followed fair use rules.
Well, and there's really four key factors that. And they're largely academic factors, but a judge making a fair use determination goes through four factors that have been established to determine whether someone's use is fair use.
Mm-hmm.
And it's largely, the extent, how much was used, and just to go through the factors real quick, the one is the purpose and character of the use, including whether it's a commercial use or whether it's a nonprofit educational use.
Right.
The second one,
whether the user is benefiting financially from it or not.
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
The second one is the nature of the copyrighted work. The third is the amount and substantiality of the portion used in relation to the work as a whole.
Right.
So that's really how much is the person claiming fair use,
right.
How much of the work are they using.
Right.
And then the fourth is the one we'll talk about more when we discuss the Google case. The fourth is the effect of the use upon the potential market for the value of the copyrighted
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm.
So by using this arguably fair use, is it taking money out of the pocket
mm-hmm.
or is it diminishing the value of the copyrighted work
right.
or perhaps enhancing it?
So exactly. And so if I take a... If I buy an album, that dates me, doesn't it? If I buy an album, in whatever form, Cokes, it could be in any kind of form, right? I buy an album somebody produces, and I take one song that's my favorite, and I record it off that album and put it on my playlist to play in my iPod, that's fair use, isn't it?
Well, in that case, you have purchased the work.
Right.
So that's a little bit different than fair use. Fair use would be, in your analogy, more like if you were recording a portion of a song off the radio.
Right. Oh, I got you. Okay. But either way, I see what you're saying. I thought fair use included the extended use of something I purchased. But anyway, folks, you see, it's fairly simple, but not completely simple. So when we come back, we're going to talk about a real fair use case. It was a lawsuit between Google and creators of and authors of books. And we'll tell you who won and why after these messages. I'll be right back with David Dossie. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.